This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
TV's Will Birchfield, and of course from our website, 971aticket.com. He's out there each and every day covering our Detroit Lions, who are on the road at Green Bay. Birchie kid, happy birthday to your little guy who turns one.
Yeah, he turned one last weekend. A big pat on the back to me for keeping a human alive for a full year. Pretty fired up about that.
Way to go, man.
Congratulations. Nice job.
Yeah, I mean, hey, against all odds, you know, defied the critics.
It's hard to imagine a world where this kid is growing up with you as the mentor, teaching him how to be an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I always said my only goal in life is to have my kid call me the kid. So I think we're well on our way.
Good luck. All right. So what's the latest out there? What did Dan Campbell have to say today?
So Dan Campbell, by the way, came in fired up as you could imagine ahead of this Titanic clash at Lambeau Field. He started gushing about the opportunity to play at Lambeau, which he said is one of those venues that God created. You know, he said it's kind of where football began. And he said, you know, we're going to be in the all whites. We're going to be in the elements. We're going to have the grass stains on the jerseys. It's just going to be good old football the way it was meant to be played. Loved the good throwback games. Then he talked about, you know, how much he loves going on the road, because he said there's nothing more special than being in an offensive huddle and you can't hear yourself think, and you look at the guy next to you and you just crack a smile. I think this guy legitimately might sneak on the field for a snap on Sunday. He was as fired up as I've ever felt him before a regular season game, and I think that extends to the whole team entering Sunday.
Well, he missed it by a week. I mean, last week was National Tight End Week. He probably should have done it then.
Yeah, that would have made more sense. But I think Sunday might be National Jack Fox Day, right? According to Jared Goff.
That's right. Well, it's funny you bring that up, because we were talking earlier about special teams and how they just were dominant last week. Weather is going to be a factor, and obviously that can affect special teams. It can affect the passing game. How much does the weather matter? The grass surface matter? First outdoor game since the San Francisco game last year. Yeah. How much does that stuff matter in the eyes of the Lions that you've gathered this week?
Well, shoes matter, right? I mean, yep. Dan Campbell sent the message on Tuesday. That was his message to the team, as Bill Parcells once told him back in his playing days. Make sure you have the right shoes for that potentially slippery surface. He even offered to get into horticulture today, talking about how a wet playing surface can affect the way that this game unfolds. But, you know, I think in a game between two teams that love to run the ball, we're going to see, as he referenced, just a physical fight that will kind of harken back to football's earlier days. I mean, Josh Jacobs is tied for the NFL in rush attempts with none other than Derrick Henry, and he's second to Henry in yards after contact. Just this offense is more physical and violent than it's been in a long time, and probably ever under Matt LaFleur. And that's the same way the Lions play. I mean, Josh Jacobs runs with the same demeanor as David Montgomery. And I think both teams on Sunday will lean on that ground game, especially if things turn sloppy and it's hard to move the ball in the air.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if it's going to be a quagmire out there, these are two of the most explosive offenses you can throw out there on a football field. And yet it might just be a slugfest to see who can run the ball better.
An old slobber knocker, you know? mean, nothing better. Quagmire, by the way, great word, vocab points. I think this game really is decided in the trenches. And I think for the first time this season, and really the first time maybe in the last 2 years, I have just a slight hesitation about how this Lions offensive line will handle the challenge on Sunday. Remember, the last time the Lions saw the Packers on Thanksgiving in Detroit last year, against pretty much the same defensive line, they caved. Like they crumbled beneath that Packers pressure. 26 quarterback pressures on Jared Goff that day, the most of his Lions tenure, and 3 fumbles, all of which were lost, the most of his career. And this is now a Packers defense under new coordinator Jeff Hafley from anybody?
Boston College.
From Boston College, that is playing more of a 4-3 defense. So it's even a more aggressive and attacking front than it was last year. And it's mostly the same pass rushers in Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith and Lucas Van Ness. And you can go right down the line. So this Lions offensive line admits that it's been unusually leaky of late. And Jared Goff, as well as he's played, has been a little bit loose with the football. He's put it on the ground 4 times in the past 2 games. Lucky to not lose any of them. But this offensive line and Jared Goff have to be ready for pressure on Sunday and to pick it up in all forms. The Packers don't blitz all that often, but they have a bunch of guys that can win one-on-one. And it's going to be also incumbent on Goff just to be aware of himself in the pocket as those pass rushers close in.
Yeah, that stuff is scary because it's not just for the football game. We've seen Hutch go down. The last thing they need is Jared Goff to take any more hits than necessary. And last week got uncomfortable at times. And, you know, he says he's not the least bit worried about those guys. He has total faith in him, as he should. But still, that was a bit much in terms of the amount of heat he was facing.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought it was noteworthy that he told you guys on Tuesday when you asked him about the pass protection that there's things he can do, he said, to help that as well. So I actually followed up with him about that on Wednesday. And he said it just goes back to his depth in the pocket, you know, making sure I'm stepping up and having good depth and keeping myself upright and then getting the ball out of my hands. I think it's also worth noting, though, that the way Goff is playing this year, which is so smart and so disciplined and so deliberate, does invite that pass rush in some ways. Like, he's holding on to the ball because he's so comfortable in getting through all of his reads, and he's not putting the ball at risk. He's not making dangerous throws downfield. That does give the pass rush some more time to get home. So if and when it closes in on Sunday, you know, he just needs to be aware of that. But again, taking a sack, the Lions, they consider that better than the alternative, which is potentially Goff throwing a pick.
What's the general consensus while you're there rubbing elbows with people about what'll happen Monday or Tuesday?
I really think they'll make a move. I'd be stunned if they don't. You know, obviously they feel good about the way that Al-Qaeddine Muhammad played last week, but they don't view him as a cure-all. And I think this is a team that needs to make a move. And I think that Brad Holmes has an obligation to this locker room and this coaching staff to bring in a proven defensive end to give them the best possible chance to go the distance, because they have everything else they need. And I think, given the way he cares so deeply about his players and his coaches on an emotional level, that he'll feel that compulsion to make a move on their behalf on Tuesday. I mean, this is a guy who has teared up in the past when talking about how much guys like Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown mean to him as pillars of this rebuild. Well, this rebuild is on the precipice of completion, and that would be obviously a Super Bowl triumph. And I think Brad Holmes knows that, and I think he'll act with the team's best interest, and I mean short-term interests, in mind on Tuesday.
It's funny because people are getting uncomfortable because this is taking so long. I think the reason it's taking so long is he's still working on the biggest possible move, and that those teams have told him, we'll wait till we get to the deadline. We want to play all of our games before the deadline, before we decide if we're pulling the plug on this season and an elite player. So I think that's why it's taken so long. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I totally agree. I was actually making the same point this week when talking on our podcast, the Detroit Football Network podcast. You can download that, rate, listen, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast.
Well done.
I think you look at teams like Cincinnati, who might have a pass rusher of note, and dare I say Cleveland, who might have a pass rusher of note. Certainly, two, if you include Za'Darius Smith. And those teams might be more inclined to sell after this weekend's games. In the meantime, it's not like any pass rushers have gone elsewhere, unless you consider Josh Uche to be a great fit for this defense, which I don't particularly think he was. And in the meantime, they're still winning games. So Brad Holmes hasn't cost himself, A player who would fit this defense by waiting, and he hasn't cost this team, B, any wins by waiting. So I agree. I think he wants to see what is potentially available on Monday after this weekend's games, and then he shops with whatever say is left on Tuesday.
Halloween comes and goes yesterday. Did you dress up the kid or the dog?
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And or both?
Yeah, we had Little Man dressed as none other than a lion. That seemed fitting. We also have a literal gator costume in store, so we might have to break that one out today in solidarity with not only you, Gator, but also our golden retriever, who is named Gator. So yeah, Little Man was making the rounds down Woodward Avenue yesterday. We even stopped into Chipotle and used him to get a $6 burrito, which was the Halloween promotion that Chipotle was running.
Good job.
Perfect. Yes. Always good to hear from you, Birchie. Thanks.
Always good to use the kids.
Yeah, the kid's really just a prop. I mean, everyone knows that, right?
Yeah, for the first year. But now things change, man. Things get serious.
The kid's about to become a money sinkhole. Just wait. Thanks, man.
The dog, too. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you next week.
There he is, the Birchie kid, who I can't imagine. Anywhere he goes, that man is having fun. It is Carson Anderson. Get to more of your phone calls and feedback next. Are You Going to Eat That? Coming up at 105 here on 97.1 The Ticket.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.